Okay.
Well, you're just getting me to talk into the microphone. It's dizzy.
Taylor, do your feet not touch the ground?
Well, they do. My toes do.
Your toes touch the ground?
Let's see if I'd rather touch the ground. Hey, I'm proud of being 62 and a half inches.
As well, you should be.
And I say it like that so you don't have to get the foot and inch conversion.
Hello, good morning. You are listening to Transparency, a podcast put out by the Aim High Foundation and Aim High Academy of Martial Arts. I'm your host, Dan Sickens, and boy, do we have a good show for you today. I've had the privilege of being able to sit down with two of the most well-adjusted, mature teenagers I've had the honor of being able to see grow over the last decade. Taylor Williams is a 14-year-old second-degree black belt who's currently testing for her third degree. And it's going to be a really, really good interview because we're going to be able to get some insight on her feelings of what it's like to be a teenager in martial arts, to be an instructor, and to see some of the philanthropy pieces that she's put into her black belt tests, including projects, both on a local and an international level. After we go from Taylor, we're going to be talking to Chris Hoskins. Christopher and his mom and his dad are all students here at the Academy. Christopher works with us. He helps us with our summer camps and on the floor, teaching in the classroom. And he's kind of a jack of all trades. He's a very, very well-adjusted young man, and it's been a great, great time sitting down with him and getting some insight on his perspective of what it means to be a fusion, aim high martial artist. You're listening to Transparency. So I'm talking with Taylor Williams. Taylor, how old are you?
I'm 14.
You're 14 going on 35, I think. Now, you're kind of a superhero around here at the school, aren't you?
I guess you could say that, sir.
What are you, second degree black belt? Are you testing with Ethos this year for your third degree?
Yes, sir, I am.
That's awesome. And you've done a number of different successes over the last years. But I think the biggest success out of, you know, building water wells in Haiti and coming up with sustainable nutrition bars for science projects and inspiring millions, if not billions, of children. I think your biggest success is a simple one, and that's tolerating the Aim High staff for the last few years. Would you agree with that?
No, sir. I would probably say that they're all challenging in different ways.
So you're challenged by the staff?
No, the staff are wonderful here.
Well, you just said that you were challenged by the staff.
I meant the projects.
So it's a project to hang out with the staff?
No, sir. I meant that the staff are wonderful. They help support me through all my projects and help me work through the challenges of them.
So you're supporting the staff while you're here?
The staff are supporting me and I support them.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what we just talked about. Taylor, so you're 14 going on 35. Now you have a birthday coming up, so you're almost 15.
I am. I'm 15 next Friday.
And I bet you're pretty excited about getting your learner's permit.
Yes, sir.
So tell us a little bit about you. How long have you been doing martial arts? Why have you been doing it as long as you have? What are some of your feelings over the years? Just tell us a little bit about you and your martial arts career here at AMI.
All right. Well, I started in a family class with my mom, dad, and my younger sister. In 2005, which is almost 9 years ago this May, I was 6 years old.
You were so cute back then, too.
And I think one of the main reasons I kept going originally was because of the people and because I found out that I really liked doing it, which I didn't think I would. My first class, I was terrified and I thought I would hate it, but it was actually really fun. And that kept me going for a little while. And then all of a sudden, I started getting a motivation. And actually, you may not know this, but when I was 8 years old, I walked out of class one day. Super awesome class. I was sweaty, but it was amazing. And I set a goal, and my goal was to be a third degree black belt by the time I graduated high school, which I'm hoping is going to be accomplished this October.
Oh, wow. And what motivated you to set that goal?
Well, I think it was just looking at all the amazing instructors around me and wanting to be like them. And I'm a person who always wants to push myself. I always want to grow, and I set goals, and I want to exceed them. I never want to just achieve and be mediocre.
Wow. Did you practice that before you came in here? Or
no, sir.
Is that from the heart?
It's just coming from my brain.
Wow. Now I know why you're such a good instructor. Now, are you hired here at Aim High? Are you one of the staff members?
I am one of the staff members.
And when did you get a job here? I mean, you're 14. Isn't that kind of Not a normal thing for a 14-year-old to be working in a martial arts school?
It's not a normal thing, and a lot of people have asked me, wait a second, you're 14, how can you work? But I did, as soon as, before I turned 14, I had already written up my resume, I had decided on everything. I talked to both my parents for, like, ideas, and then after I turned 14, I handed it in as soon as I could, and I got my job in April.
Fantastic. Has it been an easy path for you since you started martial arts when you were such a cute little, was it 6 year old? Is
six.
That right? Yeah.
No, it's not been easy, but it's been wonderful for all the challenges.
Tell us about some of those challenges. What have been some memorable experiences?
Well, I remember when I was first asked if I wanted to be part of the Power Within team, which was back in 2009. I started the black belt test when I was 9 years old, finished it when I was 10. And I remember being presented like, with that, okay, this is what you've been working towards. Are you going to go for it? And originally, I was supposed to go for my Canada belt because I was a little bit behind the others, having started in the black belt test in March instead of January. But then I kept working hard and I caught up. And that was when it kind of clicked. And I was like, this is what I want to keep doing. This is amazing. I mean, I had been working for it for a while since before then, but that's when it just started to get really real and intense and more of a lifestyle than just kind of a hobby or something you do 2-3 times a week.
Wow. Wow. So Power Within was your first black belt test.
Yes, sir.
And was it Dare to Dream was your second?
Yes, sir, in 2011.
Which test was harder, your first Dawn or your second Dawn test? Power Within or Dare to Dream?
I would say they're probably hard in equal way, in equal measure, but in different ways. For my first degree test, it was a lot of learning the project management and learning the skills and making sure I knew everything, and especially working through nerves, which was something I had a problem with. But I eventually got through, as soon as I tested for my Canada belt, I believe, is when I kind of got the hang of that. My second degree test, it was more of learning how to be a leader in the community and branching out, and that was when I really started working more as an instructor. I mean, I'd helped out with classes before, but I hadn't really ever been able to be like in charge of a group of people, and that was when I started with like 2-3 little warriors, warrior juniors, and then started building my way up from there.
Now, a lot of what we do with our youth black belts and our adult black belts has a piece of philanthropy in it, giving back to the community. And before we go into what you're doing with the Ethos test, can you tell us a little bit about some of the projects that you've done over the years?
Well, my first project, I collected teddy bears for the police department, because I'd heard stories about how when the police are called to a location, they're scared kids, they give them a stuffed animal to kind of calm them down and make them feel safe. And I thought that was really cool, and I already had so much. I wanted to be able to donate some of my toys, and I got some of my friends to do that. We kind of got the word spread out. We ended up donating over 200 bears to the police department. That was pretty awesome. And then
it's like changing the lives of over 200 children, actually, in our community.
I guess you consider it that way.
My goodness. What else have you done?
Well, then when I was eight or nine, I raised money for through another charity called Water First International. And I was able to raise money throughout my community for a water pump in Bangladesh and a small water well in Ethiopia, which serviced over 100 people each for clean water before, when they had to walk 6 miles every day for dirty water. And then I felt really good about that. So I expanded. And then when I was 11, I was able to team up with the Amy Roloff Charity Foundation to raise money to build clean water wells in Haiti after the earthquake. And we raised enough money for not just one, but two wells that are now servicing a school of 500 kids in Port-au-Prince.
She's 14, ladies and gentlemen. Now, wow. I know some 14-year-olds who won't lift a finger to take out the garbage, and you, at a young age, impacted over 200 young children who will never know who you are in our community, and you've impacted families internationally with giving them a lifeline with water. Now, by doing this, is this something your parents are pushing you to do, or are they providing you with all the materials, and are they the ones who are kind of leading the charge here, or is that you?
Well, it's been me who's been leading it. I mean, both my parents have always helped with giving me ideas for projects, but their support is always with me. I'm the one who does most of the physical work with the fundraising and getting the word out, but they're always there to help me and give me ideas and support me and help me get the message out.
Wow, and it does take a community, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
So you built wells. One other project I'd like to ask you about before we go into your ethos project is one that I came out to a science fair. You can talk way better than I can about it, but I was very impressed about the logistics that went into that project. What was that and what went into it?
Well, last year for school, I was required to do a science project, and I wanted to do something that kind of tied back to my philanthropic works before. So I decided to use my knowledge of health and nutrition to try and come up with a solution to world hunger, basically. There are some minor solutions, most especially for kids suffering from severe acute malnutrition, which basically depletes the body and allows bacteria to invade, and several harmful diseases result from that can include death or chronic pain. And I created a supplement bar. Basically, when you think about it, you can go to the store and buy an energy bar. It's like one of those, except it replaces a meal with all the vitamins you need, and it's specially equipped with fatty acids to help rebuild the body that's been suffering from malnutrition. And it proved successful for children and adults, so it could service people of all ages, most especially in underdeveloped countries and third world.
Wow. That's amazing. What motivated you to come up with that project?
Well, I think it was seeing the result of my water well in Haiti, because they sent back a video. I was able to see people using it and how happy it made the kids and how they were able to service it. It made me want to do more, but I wanted to branch out my horizons. I wanted to move on from just clean water and kind of work on hunger as well.
So when you run for president, is it okay that I vote for you?
No comment.
Let's move into what you presented on last week. Now, I did my very best to try to derail your presentation to Jeremy, Quanjim Jeremy, when you were presenting your ethos, your third degree project, and you didn't let me. You're all business, kind of like how you are today, and you're straight on with it. Tell us a little bit about your ethos project. What are you doing for 2014?
Well, for my third degree project, I'm teaming up with my fellow advanced degree candidate, Zoe Arendt, who has been training with me for quite a while. She's 17, and we decided for our project, after being in a high school and being in the public school program, you see a lot of bullying. And there are projects going on, school systems, they tell you, you know, don't pick on others, treat others the way you want to be treated. But it seems like the problem is getting worse, especially with the development of technology and cyberbullying. I know that as a student, I hear about things that maybe teachers don't, counselors don't hear about, but that are still hurting other people. So we decided to create an anti-bullying campaign from the point of view of students for students, as well as parents to service. We decided we're going to make 3 pamphlets. There's one for elementary school age, which is more of a picture book, and it explains this is what a bully really is. This is how it makes you feel when you're a victim, and this is what bystanders can do. You don't have to necessarily step in front of someone and take a punch for them. You can go tell a counselor, or you can go comfort the victim when it's over and just try and make a difference that way. Then there's also going to be something for middle school age as well as high school age, because bullying changes as it as age progresses. It escalates in different ways and also decelerates in other ways. So physical bullying lessens as you get to middle and high school, but emotional cyberbullying, social bullying, they're much more common. And then we're also going to make a video, so we want to get in-depth, like...
She's 14, ladies and gentlemen. If I didn't
footage of bullying to... convince the public that this is something that needs to be done. You know, this is something that someone else is going to do. You can't just sit back, that it's part of a community effort. And we're hoping to get it possibly implemented in the community or implemented in schools so that it can really make a difference.
Wow. What would you say to any other 14-year-old who may be thinking of getting into the martial arts? Who may be listening to this right now, would you suggest it? Would you recommend it? What kind of advice would you give to somebody your age who didn't have the history of martial arts like what you've had?
Well, I would think that someone should start martial arts, because it really is improves all aspects of your life. It makes you feel great beyond just the physical conditioning. And starting at 14, you know, that's great. You don't have to start super young, but the younger you do start, the earlier you start, then I feel like it helps shape your body. Your school performance improves. It helps shape your entire life. And it also helps you plan for the rest of your life. So I think you're able to live a happier life. Of course, starting as an adult is fine as well for shaping your lifestyle.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, she does not have a script in front of her. She is literally talking from the heart and from her experiences. And I think that's a very, very impressive thing. Taylor, thank you. We look forward to seeing your future, not only as a martial artist, but what do you want to be when you graduate?
Well, I'm not definite on that, but I'm considering a career working for the FBI as either a profiler or an analyst.
I could think you'd be very successful no matter what you choose to do. And that's,
I appreciate that, sir.
Taylor Williams is going to be testing with our Ethos 2014 Fusion Black Belt testers. You'll be able to see her at the main event this October, as well as in her Ethos test. Look at aimhighma.org/ethosblog to follow her and follow her journey through her blogs and her writing. And Taylor, are you available for private lessons?
I am.
Taylor's available for private lessons, and I would highly recommend her as a babysitter. I think you just started a new entrepreneurship as a Aim High certified babysitter. Is that right?
I've been babysitting for a while. Yes, sir.
So I highly, highly recommend her. And thank you very much. And I hope that your students, as I've seen on the floor, like in classes today even, that they are following in your footsteps and that you're going to be very successful no matter what you do.
Thank you, sir.
All right, now get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Well, that was a very fun interview that I had with Taylor. And what's great about her is that she gets it. She's dialed in. She's had a perspective from a young child growing through the ranks into the days of growth here at the facility. And now she's with us as an instructor. She's dialed in. She gets what it means to be a modern martial artist in today's world. Come with me now. We're going to go into an interview of Christopher Hoskins. He's a 16-year-old, third-degree black belt. And it was a fun interview that I had sitting down with him, listening to kind of where his insight is with the martial arts. Now, keep in mind, I didn't prep these kids. I just said, come in and let's sit down, let's have a chat. And to listen to them talk from the heart really brings a tear to my eye. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of all of our martial artists. And, you know, everybody's on their own journey. They've all taken their own steps and their own course. But to see when a martial art has that aha moment, that time when the light actually turns on, they get it. They understand what it means to be a martial artist in today's world. It's not about going and defending your village of samurais and ninjas and all that. Well, that's kind of fun to play make-believe, but as a modern martial artist, it's about giving back. It's about philanthropy, understanding your surroundings, the people that you are involved with and hang out with, and what you do. A modern martial artist in today's world, yeah, they can defend themselves on a physical level. It's also about defense on a mental and emotional and even spiritual level. So come with me now. We're going to go into an interview with Christopher Hoskins and get some insight from that young man on what it means to be a martial artist. I'm talking to Christopher Hoskins. Christopher, how old are you?
I am 16.
And you just started driving, isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Got my laminate license in the mail a couple days ago.
Oh, that's a scary thing.
Yes, sir. Roads are no longer safe.
I actually would think that you're probably one of the better drivers on the road, having grown up with you, knowing how responsible you are. Tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? What are you doing here? And what keeps you coming back?
So my name is Sabin Christopher Hoskins. I've been at Aim High for about, or I want to say around 8 years or so. I believe I started when I was either 8 or 9. I started in our first Bethany, it was in our dojo right in front of the Hawthorne Farms Athletic Center. I keep coming back here because it's such a great, fun family environment. I've learned so much, including the respect and focus. And it's really helped me develop my listening skills, which have helped me at school and in many other places. Yes, sir.
Now, you started Taekwondo for, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people start. Sometimes they want to learn self-defense. Perhaps listening skills, the parents get them involved, getting good grades. But you actually started Taekwondo for a different reason.
I started Taekwondo because my dad called it something funny. He called it Taekwondo, and I thought that was hilarious at the time, so I decided it'd be a good idea to join.
Well, that's a good thing that that he did that and that you're here, because you're one of our instructors. You've been on the team for a while, and you're actually a hired instructor. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
So you get paid to teach.
Yes, sir, and it's amazing.
Now, that is, because a lot of 16-year-olds, if they can find a job, it's usually, I don't know, I want to say that maybe the skating rink or perhaps the movie theater.
McDonald's.
Or McDonald's. You have a job at a martial arts school. Is that separate you at all from your peers at school? Or is it considered a weird thing or a foreign thing? Or is it kind of cool?
It's a little bit of each. It's kind of cool because I have a job that's separated from a lot of jobs teenagers have. You know, some of my friends work at the aquatic center nearby. Some of them work at, Fred Meyer. But I have a job where I can literally go out and interact with people and really help young ones, especially, to gain that respect and focus that will be so crucial to them during their lives.
Wow. Wow. And that's a huge responsibility, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any memorable experiences as an instructor on the floor that you'd like to share?
Some of my favorite experiences have to be with some of the little warriors, because they'll come up to me and they'll say, "Hello, Teacher Chris," or "Hello, Ninja Chris," because they see us some of our instructors and some of our other media we have, and it's just such an awesome thing to hear from them and the parents that they're doing this respect at home, they're doing this respect in school, their grades have been improving. And I get to hear such great excitement from not only the parents, but from the kids too, being able to see this big change in their lives.
Wow. What do you think has been a big change in your life with the martial arts? Is there any memorable times as a student rather than an instructor that perhaps a Shamrock Run or maybe one of the camping trips or anything like that that you'd like to share?
Yes, sir. When I was a blue belt, I believe, I was working on Pogway 2. And it was okay. It was looking pretty good. But my instructors, you know, being Kwanjim Jeremy and Kwanjim Dan, they said they wanted me to wait to test for my next belt because they saw that I was doing okay, but they wanted me to do better. And that had a big impact on me because it reminds me that we can get by with some of this average stuff, but we're not different unless we really achieve for the higher stuff and really aim high.
We're definitely keeping that in this. Absolutely. Wow. You know, you've been the model student. You always aim to achieve more, aim high, if you will. Has this also flown over into your scholastics? What are your grades looking like right now?
I currently have a 4.0 in school with taking a...
And that's out of 10?
No, sir.
Oh.
Out of 4.
Out of 4, okay.
I am currently taking 2 AP or advanced placement classes, college level, as a sophomore at Century High School. And that's going quite well.
Are you still acting?
I'm doing a little bit. I help out with some of the drama department at Century, in addition to most of my time is spent with the band. We got one of the highest scores we've ever gotten as a school during our competitions for marching band, and it's just been a great experience because the family there is awesome too.
Do you think that perhaps some of the skills that you've learned on the floor here at the school have helped you out in band practice, in achieving higher level college level classes, and in your acting?
Yes, sir. So, like, the time management skills are so important because, you know, you're going from some of the drama stuff to some of the band stuff and all over school. It's helped me with the, you know, paying attention to detail. Not only that, but just making sure I have time to practice so I can always be the best that I can be.
Absolutely. And what does your girlfriend think about that?
She thinks it is awesome.
And what's her name?
Caitlin.
Oh, hi, Caitlin. If you're listening to this, he doesn't stop talking about you, so that's a good thing. Chris, what would you say to an aspiring 16-year-old who may be thinking about getting into the martial arts? What kind of advice would you give to that person, or perhaps a parent who's thinking about getting their teenager, 16-year-old, into the martial arts?
It really makes a difference for especially teenagers being able to put into a program where they're really held accountable for the things they have to do. In schools these days, one of the popular sayings is, remember kids, D's are passing. And that's really sad because...
Is that really a saying?
Yes, sir.
Oh my gosh. Head smack.
Wide held by a lot of seniors there.
Okay.
And it's really such a sad thing. But the great thing about Aim High and one of the great benefits about Aim High is you're held accountable for yourself, for your responsibility, your respect to your parents especially, and all the things like that.
Wow. Wow. Christopher Hoskins, you're available for private lessons.
Yes, sir.
You can reach Chris. I think we just got you a new email. Is it Chris? No, that's Chris Wilson on the east side.
Yes,
no.
Sir. Christopher at aimhighma.org.
Christopher at aimhighma.org. You can schedule a private lesson with him up at the front. I highly recommend it. I also highly recommend working with Chris, looking to him to be a mentor. He's gone through 3 black belt tests. Both his mom and his dad are black belts here. He just recently got his third degree, and he didn't get a youth third degree. He got an adult third degree because of the requirements that he was able to not only excel in, almost set a bar high for anybody else coming behind you. Well deserving, and really it's been an honor to see you progress from this cute little chubby redhead kid out on the floor playing Jedi camp to a very...
My girlfriend adored that picture, sir. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and I got some more. If she wants them, she can go ahead and send me a private message too. Chris, thank you. You're an amazing young man. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Aim high.
Aim high. All right, now get out of here. Go back to class.
Yes, sir.
Well, I had a lot of fun today sitting down with Taylor and Christopher. And again, I'm proud of those two. There's some great, great black belts. But I ideally would like to mold and develop anybody who goes through our program as a modern martial artist. Regardless if you're a Taekwondo practitioner, or mixed martial arts, and Thai kickboxing, or jiu-jitsu, or whatever really your flavor of martial arts is. Get it, to have that underlining platform of development in the modern martial arts world, to give back, to hang out with the right people, and to do the right things. And so multifaceted that's kind of the whole reason we're putting out this podcast, is transparency. It's getting you some insight on what it means to be a martial artist on multiple levels, to do what we do as a day-to-day operation, our business, our mindset, money, development, and growth. Thank you for taking your time with us today. You've listened to Transparency. Again, my name is Dan Sickens. Feel free to contact me with any ideas of a podcast or questions on today's show. You can get a hold of me at dan@aimhighma.org. Give me a call on our West location at 503-640-8628. And until next week, this is Transparency. Thank you.